5. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I mean, there's enough gospel there to save the world. But here, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's got to be this. No. A lot of times it's a very simple message that really brings people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the tremendous things that man thinks they can do. The Bible said, unless God be in it. Amen? Unless God be in it. See, that's the important part, God being in it. Doesn't matter how long, short of this or that, if God's in it. You know, I've listened to messages that were somewhat long, but God was in it. They didn't seem long at all.
That's right.
I've listened to others, maybe those a lot I preached. Well, people said, boy, will he ever get through? Amen? But praise God, when God's in it, it'll be all right. That's the good part, isn't it? You have your Bibles tonight. We try to bring a message, the Lord be willing. In the book of Philippians, Paul, I like to preach from Paul's writings. Paul was, as David said, in my opinion, my way of feeling, Paul was one of the greatest men outside of Christ that probably ever lived. He was allowed to write 2/3 of the New Testament gospel. He's called the apostle to the Gentiles, so he is the one that we should listen to. Now, we always should listen to Jesus, but if there was a man that you should listen to, it was surely Paul as a Gentile. Here in chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, just beginning in the first verse, Lord be willing. Again, pray for us. I don't know which way this will go or where it will go, but God does. Amen? Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, like I said, church, there's not been enough singing here tonight that we ought to be rejoicing.
Amen.
I mean, it talked about the blood of Jesus. It talked about a place called heaven. It talked about uniting with people you love and things and the blood of Christ. I mean, there was just enough that they'll have been shouting all over the house. Amen. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You know, that's what we come a lot short of as Christians today, is really rejoicing in the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about coming to meeting. You don't have to worship like me. I'm sort of loud, and I know I am. Everybody knows I'm in the crowd. Amen? When they're in church. If they're in church for me long, they're going to know I'm there, because I'm not very shy when it comes to being in the house of the Lord. And just if you are, that doesn't mean that you aren't worshiping just as much as I. Different people worship different ways, but we need to rejoice. No matter what way we do it, we need to rejoice.
Amen.
To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, it's not grievous, but for you it is safe. Hey, the safest thing you to do tonight as a Christian is rejoice in the Lord. That means stay close to Jesus. That don't mean just shouting. That means walking with Lord, rejoicing in His presence. If you ever know a church that said, as the men walked to Emmaus, they said, and our souls within us. You know, there's something ought to be within us tonight that rejoices at all times for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not grievous, but safe. Church, that's the safest thing you can do tonight, is rejoice in your Savior. Said, beware of the dog, beware of evil workers, beware of conceit. You know, church, we think that they have all the problems that are about us. Well, the problems have always been here, church.
That's
even
right.
In the age here, the beginning of the church, there was problems. There'll always be. We have a worthy adversary. We seem to forget. The Bible says, I have a worthy adversary. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. I don't read my Bible. It says he's ever rested. He said, I've been going to and fro, seeking whom I may devour.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
So I have to be aware of all times. You know, that's how many times we let down the guard, because we're not aware that Satan is always there to battle with us. And I don't know, sometimes we get in this here mindset, oh, well, because we're saved, everything ought to be all right. I wish that was true, don't you? Wouldn't it be a glorious life to live in Christianity if everything was always all right? Think about it.
I
mean, no problems, no cares. Well, there wouldn't be probably much praying going on, would there? Tribulation will put you on your knees. You know that? I'm of the belief, now I might be as wrong as the day is long, but I'm not of the opinion that prosperity is good for the church. I think when the church, if you see really, when the church is really laboring for the Lord, it's under great diversity. Amen? Most churches that are at ease in Zion don't labor much for God.
That's right.
So let's hurry along. It says, for we are the circumcision. We are the true children of God. You know, under the Old Testament law, the only true Jew was a circumcised Jew. If you hadn't been circumcised, you wasn't a Jew no matter who you was born to. Amen? Circumcision is what made them different than everyone else in that time, because they were circumcised. They were brought to that custom that God gave them, worship, the word which worship God in the Spirit, rejoicing, how's that word again? Rejoicing the Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Have no confidence in the flesh. Church, I think tonight, people today, that's our problem. We have too much confidence in the flesh. We worry about what this one thinks about us. We worry about what that one thinks about us. I hope to live like God, but it'd be godly. But I'm really not worried much about what you think about me tonight. It's what I know that fears me more than you. Amen? I knew if I got what I deserved, I'd be behind bars tonight. Now, you can believe that or not. I can't help it. I know if I got truly what I deserved, I would be behind bars. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has there whereof, to he might trust in the flesh, I more. Why? Why would Paul think he had? If he wanted to, he could have been trusting in his flesh. Hey, Paul, listen to his account. Though I might also have more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Now do you... Have you ever studied the Pharisaic, what it means to be a Pharisee? They were one of the most strict sects in their time of trying to hold to the Bible, even though they didn't understand it at all, but they were very strict on what the law of Moses. They were real strict on the customs of the Jews. They were real strict. They knew. They studied it. They studied it, and it became just a fiber of their life. Church, and if you know any of those, most of those of the sects of the that came to Jesus out of this religion were Pharisees. Nicodemus, one of them, came. He was a Pharisee. That means, church, that's what I'm trying to say. They knew the law. They knew what Christ should be when he came, and that's why Nicodemus said, "We know that our teacher come from God. We know. We've studied. I know what you are. You're the Son of God. I just won't admit it."
Amen.
See, they knew because they had said it. Circumcised it, they had the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, second law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I don't think anybody's ever had much more zeal than Paul had. Do you? No. I mean, before he was saved, he had a great zeal to go out and persecute the church. But you know, Paul had the same zeal after he became a Christian. He kept that zeal. A lot of Christians, after they get saved, seem to lose zeal, you know? I mean, these people that are great sinners, after they get saved, don't continue to be great South Christians. Paul never lost the zeal. Paul never lost that great zeal. I'm going to be whatever I do, I'm going to be the best at it I can be.
Amen.
Some of us need to get some zeal, don't we?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Zeal, church, that's good to have if it's right in the right direction.
Right.
Persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Is there any of you tonight feel blameless? I have the blood of Christ over me, but I still don't feel blameless. Here's Paul in his mind as a Pharisee. He said, I thought I was blameless. He thought I was absolutely right. I'm going to go there and get them Christians. I'm bringing them back to Jerusalem and over here, and I'm going to have them killed. Hey, I'm right. I'm right. That's what he thought. I'm right. Blameless.
That's right.
Church, that's touching the law. What do you think tonight, church? There's two people tonight that some of them think they're pretty righteous, you know? I've met a few of them. Amen. And I watched them for a while, and they wasn't half as righteous as they thought they were. I think you watched me very long. I hope I've never give you the thought that I think I'm right. I'm not righteous. I have a righteous Savior. I have a righteous Redeemer. The Bible says there's nothing good in Ross Wilford tonight. All of my righteousness is filthy rags in the eyes of God. But I have a righteous Savior. Amen?
Amen.
I have a righteous Redeemer.
Amen.
I have somebody that is righteous tonight, Amen, pleading my cause.
Right.
What these things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. Have you lost anything for Christ tonight? Think about it. Have you cast off anything for Christ? Paul said, I count all things lost for the excellence of Christ. Doubtless I count all things but loss for the essence and the knowledge of Jesus Christ by the Lord, my Lord, for whom I have suffered. Now that's a word Baptists don't like.
Amen?
Is Brother Ross right? How many Baptists tonight do you think they think they ought to suffer for Christ? Lost of all things and to count them but loss that I may win Christ. Well, he's saying, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus, of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. A church, like I said, there's enough already been said tonight. I've read enough scripture, if people heed it, to save a lost and dying world. Finally, my brother, rejoice. Finally, my brother, he's talking to the redeemed. He's talking to people who know Christ.
That's right. Amen.
He can't call the lost brethren. They're not brethren. They're heathens.
That's right.
They're vagabonds.
Amen.
They're not brothers. I mean, we're to love them. We're not to discount them. But they're not brethren. When the Bible speaks of brethren, he's talking of Christian people.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come tonight, as we have confessed, there's no righteousness in us. There's nothing good that I could brag about tonight. The only one I have to brag on, to lift up, to hold up, is my Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I didn't say I might. He said, I will draw men unto me. And I'm thankful for that tonight. My job is not to be eloquent. My job is not to be good. My job is to exalt, lift up Christ, that men might be drawn to Christ, that they might be saved. That's every Christian's job today, Lord. Our job is not to be maybe to gain or be this, but it is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, to count all things in this world lost for His excellency. That we count our lives lost in Christ, that we might obtain Christ in our lives. Now, Father, we ask Your blessing. Give us the understanding You have. Give us the words. Nothing more, nothing less than You have said, Lord. Then we'll give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. Touch hearts, souls, minds. Draw Thy people ever closer and out of Thee. But most of all, exalt Christ tonight, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, Paul writing church to the brethren, and he's telling them, I want you to rejoice. I want you to be happy in Jesus. Yes. I don't meet many happy Christians, do you? How many Christians today along this walk of life did you meet that seemed like you thought they were rejoicing in the Lord? I mean, they were happy. They were just satisfied with the life. They were ready to lift up the name of Jesus. They were just charging out for souls to be saved. They were just on the fine line for Christ. They were in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus was in them. Did you meet many today? I don't along the way. I have to be honest. Now, I have met a few. I've met a few. They was at the store. I went in to get something from, I think it was some Coke or something. My wife, she has to have that decaffeinated stuff. And the young man said, bless you. And I said, son, I'm blessed. I am blessed. And my feet touched the floor this morning. I truly am blessed. He said, I am too. Praise God. Hey, that's the way Christians ought to meet one another, isn't it? I mean, y'all let the rest of the world know, hey, these people are blessed. They're blessed. Amen. Amen. That young man was blessed. I was blessed. We ought to be telling the world we're blessed.
Amen.
Hey, I'm blessed. If my feet touch the floor, I'm blessed.
Yes.
If I get out, I'm truly blessed. Amen. If I have the means by which to get what I need, I'm overly blessed. Mm-hmm. Paul says, I rejoice. I want you to know who you are. I want you to know what you should be doing.
Amen.
We do not need to go around like we've lost our best friend.
No.
We need not to be walking like, man, what is, what? Hey, you need, that's what the Bible says, study. Hey, if you study the Word of God, you'll know what God wants you to do. No preacher can tell you what God wants you to do.
That's right, amen.
I hardly know what God wants me to do. And surely I can help you. I mean, I walked up here now. I've been praying all night to get a message from God. Say, oh, Lord, what? Hey, I used to walk in the pulpit. I didn't try to worry. I just knew God would take care of it. And I just turned loose. Amen?
Yeah.
My wife used to tell me, said, you know, you don't have to preach the whole Bible every time you preach. You know. I don't know. But church, I'm saying we need that zeal.
Amen.
We need that joy in our heart. Hey, I thank God that we've lost the joy of being who we are.
Amen, brother.
Are you joyful to be saved? Is it a reality to you every day you rise up out of the bed and your eyes open? Do you realize it's another day I get to be a Christian? It's another day I get to be a saint for God. It's another day I get to rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
Really what it means, isn't it? What Paul's saying to them, hey, do you realize? Finally, my brethren, do you realize who you are? Do you realize what God wants you to be? Hey, you know what God said all He wanted was for His people was what was good for them?
Mm-hmm.
God, the Bible said God works no ill toward any man.
Amen.
Now, when we stumble and fall, that's not God's ill. That's our own stupidity. Excuse me. I talk my stupidity. When I fail, it's my stupidity. But I'm trying to say tonight, church, Paul says, brethren, you should rejoice in the Lord every day.
Amen.
You know, well, preacher, it doesn't say you feel, Paul didn't say if you feel good, rejoice. To a lot of us, that's the way we live our lives, on how we feel.
That's right, amen.
Most of us, that's why most of us aren't, we all most of the time don't feel too good, so we're not doing too good.
Amen.
That should not be what directs our Christian life, it's what how we feel. I've come to church sometimes not feeling like I was ready to be at church.
That's right.
That's right.
But I came because I didn't. But somewhere during the service, God would change the feeling.
Amen. Amen, brother.
God is not concerned with how you're feeling tonight. He's concerned, are you willing to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Are you willing to pick up your cross and follow Him? That's what He's concerned with tonight. God will take care of our lives. The Bible said, I know what you have. Jesus, God said, I know what you have need of.
Yep.
I don't have to go and tell God what I have need of. He knows what I have need of. And if I live right, He'll supply my need. Now, if I don't live where God can supply my need, don't blame God, blame me.
Amen, brother. That's right.
Israel's needs were supplied as long as they walked in the statutes and the commandments of God. God did exactly what He said to do. I will bless thee. And He kept His word. And I give to you to Ross Wilford. When I meet the conditions, He always has kept His word.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
If I'm a liar, that doesn't make God one.
That's right.
If you'll search the scriptures, you'll find that God keeps His word. Amen. God doesn't lie. God cannot lie.
Amen.
I can. You can. But He cannot.
That's right.
Amen. What? Rejoice, rejoice. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. You want to be safe tonight? You want to feel that security in your life tonight? You want to feel, man, everything's all right. I don't care what happens, everything's all right. Bible says, Paul said here, find my brethren. I want to write unto you, if you do this, if you'll do what God wants you to do, if you'll rejoice in the Lord, if you'll keep the commandments, if you'll do what God says, wrote two, hey, God didn't give us two commandments, He only gave us two. And we complain, oh, look how Israel fell. God help us, look what we've done with just two. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and all that is within thee. Second is likened to the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On this hinge all the law and the prophecy. Amen? Mm-hmm. I mean, we say, oh, look at the church. Only two commandments. All I have to do tonight, all God asks of me tonight, is love the Lord thy God.
Amen.
Amen.
He didn't ask me to do this great this or that. He said, just love me. Amen. And all He said then, like you love me, if you want me to really bless you, love your brother. Why Paul said, my brethren, I want you to know I love you tonight, he says. Indeed, the right is not grievous for me, but safe for you. Paul knew what it was to be in adversity. I don't think any of us have a clue to know what Paul knew about adversity. When people, I get to moaning and groaning, I always go to that scripture. He says, you have not yet resisted unto blood.
Right.
I believe Paul would say to most of us, take your shirt off. Turn around, take your shirt off. I want to count the stripes. Said, you've not yet resisted unto blood. Church tonight, do not. Why aren't we rejoicing at the church today?
Amen.
Oh, preacher, you don't know. The world is not our excuse to not rejoice.
Amen, brother.
The world and all is going, hey, I went up here and I listened to, and I thought, why am I listening to this people? I mean, they bellyache and moan about it. I mean, you can't find a channel that doesn't have some problem and somebody groaning about something. And I thought, oh Lord, one day you're going to take care of it all.
That's right.
That's right, amen.
Amen. What I need to do, no matter what they're doing, I need to rejoice in the Lord. I need to be about my Father's business.
Amen, that's right.
This is safe for you tonight, church. Being about your Father's business is safe. What's God's business? Jesus only had one business. You know what it was? Now, He wasn't a carpenter. He was a son of a carpenter. He probably grew up in a carpenter shop. But He told them about what His business was. At 12 years old, He told Mary and Martha, Joseph, what His business was. He said, I'm not going to be a carpenter, Dad.
Marlon, I'll never drive a nail probably further, but I've come to do the will of my Father.
That's right.
Amen. That's all God expects tonight of any of us. It's to do the best we can, to do the will of the Father. That's all Jesus wants, is the will of God done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
When he taught him to pray, what did he say? Pray in this manner: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
That's right.
Yes, when they asked him, how should I pray? You should hallow the name of your God. You should hallow the name of that one who you call upon. Hallowed be thy name, O Lord. That means holy, righteous, good. You won't put anything in it. It's there and hallowed. He says what? Now, church, he give us all this. He said, now there's some things that you and I as Christians should be aware of. You know, we act like, oh, well, you know, you don't. Hey, that's why we're not very good soldiers. You know, I bet them soldiers over in the Middle East tonight, I bet they got their heads up.
Yeah.
I bet if they're out there on patrol, they ain't down there. Well, we're. No, they got their eyes out going overnight and looking. They're out there looking. Why? They know the danger. Hey, you know what's wrong with the church today? We don't know the danger.
Amen.
As I said, we have a worthy adversary. We have someone to be aware of. We have someone to be alert about. We need to have our heads up and our eyes open.
Amen.
Jesus. Like I said, we expect our truth. We expect a lot of our truth. Yet we think we can just lily-lally God around being God's soldiers, king.
Yeah.
I mean, we can know how most of us are AOL or WOWAL. What is it, Brother Gary? When you're not here, when you're supposed to be?
AWOL.
Well, that's what most Christians are. They're AWOL tonight on God. They're not on the job. They're not where they are. They're not for the post that they should be in. Oh, well, that's all right. Didn't like Jesus either.
That's right.
I don't think if you preach the gospel, really, people are not going to like you. If you preach the true gospel, what did Jesus say? I've come to bring a variance.
That's right.
I've come to put a wedge.
That's right.
Church tonight, that's what's wrong. We think everything ought to be kumbaya. That's what we've been. We've been this gospel today is kumbaya. Let's all be. Hey, it's nowhere in this Bible for us to get along with sin. Nowhere in this Bible tells us that we can buddy up with Satan. Nothing in this Bible says we can do that.
That's right.
You have to be aware of those who are religious but not godly. That's what these people were. They were religious. Who are of the circumcision? Oh, they were very religious. They were so religious they crucified Christ. You know what? Heard that Brother David, I believe some time ago, you preached about, we'd crucify him again. Hey, this world would crucify Christ. He would be too pure, too white, too righteous. They couldn't handle it.
That's right, amen.
They'd go about just as they did then to find how to crucify him if he came as a lamb. He's not coming as a lamb the next time. He said, I come as a lamb, and I let him slay me on a cross. But the next time I come, hallelujah, I'm coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Amen.
And my army shall be with me.
That's right.
That's right.
Now he's coming. Next time he comes to this earth and sets his foot down here, it'll be a whole different situation.
Amen.
Amen.
But beware, what? Beware of church. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of concision. Beware. Not today. Not many Christians today, I mean, are aware of anything.
That's right.
Like I said, they're going around with their head down, their eyes closed, most of them.
Amen, brother.
Bible says, high time we awake from our slumber. Church, you better be aware of some things.
Uh-huh.
Well, preacher, well, that's what's wrong. We're not. Hey, if you were aware of what was really going on, you'd be in this church howling and praying, moaning and groaning for God to come. You'd be saying, oh, Lord Jesus, come. Please come, Lord. You'd be praying for that sinner like you've never prayed in your life for a sinner. You'd be praying, oh, if you could just catch a glimpse of what God's got coming down the pipe for us as America. Let me tell you something. I tell you, this country is set for one thing, and that is judgment.
Right.
Oh, that's, I don't like that, preacher. That's all right. Nine men drove the last nail in the coffin as far as I'm concerned a few months ago. I'm just waiting for the hammer to fall.
Yeah.
On America.
Every nation that adopted the lifestyle that we adopted as a nation a few months back, let nine men sit up around the Supreme Court and tell us that they, what, that God said something was an abomination. God had no business, didn't know what he, God knew what he was talking about. God knew what, he's still God. He's still going to judge those folk. He in hell, he would wish all of them get saved. But he will judge them for their sin, and they are still an abomination, and they will destroy America.
Right, amen.
Well, I like that, preacher. That's all right. I say again, they didn't like Jesus either. Well, all he told them was the truth.
Right.
Church, finally, beware, beware. There's some things coming up on this country. You better beware. You ever thought about all the storms and things? I was saying the other day, when they talked about all those tornadoes and everything was going to come last night, maybe come. I didn't remember, when I was young, I don't remember a tornado ever being in Tennessee. Do you?
Amen.
Do you remember the things that have come in our nation the last little while? Being just like that great, that big storm down there in, was it Houston, Texas? Never before had a hurricane come in, went out, and came back in. Never before. Better be waking up, people.
That's right.
We better be opening up our eyes. We better be aware. Good, and I said, and all that, I still think we ought to be able to preach around all that. Amen. If you know that Jesus said, when you see these things, look up, because the redemption draweth nigh.
Amen, brother.
I'm not happy because of what's going on, but I am happy because it says my Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
He said, when you see these things, be aware of when you see these things. Well, preacher, I just think everything's going on like it was. Well, that's what you said when Jesus come first time, wasn't it? All things continue to us in the days of our Father.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. Well, it has changed. Jesus came, died on the cross to save a lost and dying world.
Amen.
It changed a lot. See, we are the circumcision. Well, that means we are the family of God, not because of some cutting away of our flesh, not because of some act of man, not because of those who truly worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Are again rejoice that are happy in Jesus, that are really, are you happy tonight in Jesus? Are you happy tonight? Listen, church, you better need that. Are you happy in Jesus? Are you rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you just happy whether, like I said, every morning you get up, if I get up, Jesus sees us. If I live, Jesus shall live in me. What Paul said wasn't it? For me to live is Christ. Church, he said, rejoice. Worship God in spirit. Worship God. Church, worship. What's that word, worship? It don't mean just, I love this church. Don't get me wrong, I love every church as far as that is. But just coming and singing songs, it's not worshiping. Now, Dave, I love our church. But if all we do is come in and sing a few songs, go back out, and it's like, we've not worshiped God. Hey, worshiping God is when you get right with God and you lift up. The Bible said, lifting up holy hands unto the Lord.
Amen.
That's worship. When you can come to that, this church, lift up holy hands to God with a clear conscience, then you can worship God. Till then, you need to fall on an altar and say, oh, woe is me, forgive me, God. Amen?
Amen.
That's what's wrong, church. If you look at Israel, hey, it didn't take a lot of sin for God to get angry with Israel. If you don't believe me, read the Old Testament.
That's right, brother.
One man sinned and the whole church, the whole congregation paid for it.
That's right.
Yeah, one man sinned when they marched into the promised land. Or was marching toward it. Over there in Jericho. He went and he said, I've seen a few Babylonian garments. Maybe a wedge of gold. Man, it looked pretty nice. And a few pieces, I don't know how many pieces, several pieces of silver shackles, I think it said. And he draw it in, you know. Well, God don't really know what's going on. God can't see. God doesn't watch anybody. Well, he must have been keeping a pretty good eye on him. Because God knew exactly who it was.
Right,
when Joshua went through and started looking and he went right, God pointed him right to the man. What'd you do, fella? Achan, what'd you do? Well, I took a Babylonian garment, nice garment. I seen that wedge of gold and I said, I just crushed it, took and hid it under my tent. Sounds like what Christians do today, ain't it?
Yeah.
Hiding things under the tent.
Right.
Hiding things under, think they got it covered, think God don't know nothing about it. God ain't going to, hey, God doesn't, hey. Oh, I wish we understood that God has eyes that you could not believe. What did the Bible say about it? He said his eyes were like a flame of fire. Piercing. Church, you know that? God's eyes pierce through things.
pierces through my sin, it pierces through your sin, and he knows what we have hid under the tent.
Amen.
But the Bible says confession is good for the soul. So why, oh, he didn't just worry too long to confess. If he'd confess when he come along, God might not have killed him, I don't know. But he waited till God, like a lot of Christians tonight seem to be doing. I'm waiting for God to point his finger at me. Well, when God points his finger at me, whoa, I tell you, you're already in trouble. You better run away quick. You better, there's no place to hide. Found no place to hide. He didn't just get cost him, it cost his family, it cost his servants, it cost everything he had. His cattle died and everything. His flocks were destroyed. God burned it all. God said, I am God above me, there is another.
Right.
Let me tell you tonight, beware. Beware that God says, I am God above me. Just beware, church. You better be aware. For the circumcision are not those who say and act good like the Pharisees. Said, you know, Pharisees. You know what the Bible says about Pharisees? The Bible said the Pharisees went through the streets wanting people to say, look at there, there's Rabbi so-and-so. Bless you, Rabbi. There's over. Bless you. Hey, they even found the praise of the people.
Right.
Praise of the people. That's all. They wasn't worried about the praise of God. They worried about the praise of people. That's what's wrong with the church today. We're worried about the praise of people instead of the praise of God.
Amen, brother.
Said they made longer borders and they even put bells on them so people would know they was coming.
Yep.
Amen. Yeah. They had their reward, the Bible says.
Right.
Quickly, let's hurry along, Lord. Be willing. Ah, it says circumcision. Rejoice in the Lord in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. You got confidence in the flesh tonight? Maybe you got a good bank account and think, oh, everything's okay. I got a good job. My bank account's all right. Got a nice car. It's running pretty good. You know, my refrigerator's not tore up. Yet. Oh, everything's going along pretty good, you know. We're just rocking down the road good way, Goodville. But then all of a sudden things begin to happen.
Yep.
Ever been there, church, when you know you're out of the will of God and things begin to happen? Things begin to fall apart. Things begin to come loose that was used to be tight. You better watch. God knows how to take the wheels off the chariots.
Right.
Make them drag slow. Asked, if you don't believe me, ask the Egyptians that drowned in the Red Sea. Let me tell you tonight, God tonight says, don't have any confidence in the flesh. This will fail you. That's why God didn't save it. He saved the soul. You ever notice anything? The flesh must die because the flesh is sinful. The flesh, this flesh, if you don't keep it, that's why the Bible says mortify it. That means put it down, kill it, stamp it, whatever you need to do. But you better get it under control because the flesh will not, it will condemn you.
Right.
Mortify the flesh. Have no pleasure in the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. Amen. Hey, the Bible went as far as this. Now, I don't know if I'm good. I'm righteous enough to do this. But the Bible even said, if your right hand is fit, cut it off. If you're out, pluck it out. Church, we don't understand how serious. The Bible said in one place, work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Right.
My God, with popping of gum and joy, but with fear and trembling, you come before the Lord, this awesome God, this God said, let it be and it was, said, let the street and set the stars and heaven, the moon and all, and yet he's God, and yet we treat him like a second class
citizen.
Get his feet out. Christian says, I speak with my hands. You didn't know you get dragged into this, did you, sis? Well, everybody, you know, I take pot shots at everybody. But remember this, every time I do, I've got about four fingers pointing back at me. I'm going to give them, you know, but beware, church, beware. Beware. Don't be trusted in what you... Hey, what I have and you have can be gone tonight.
Amen.
That's right.
Don't you think it can, because it can.
Amen.
I heard a man say, it might have been you, David, preaching that we really didn't own anything.
That's right.
You know, I really struck on me that when you said, I got to think about it. You know, he's right. We don't really own anything. No, you can't, naked came into this world and naked shall you return. Amen. Nothing. I only have things that have been loaned to me that I borrowed from God to enrich my life. God has given you things to enrich your life. God has let you borrow them for a while.
Right, amen, brother.
All that you have and all that you are, it is of the Lord, the Bible says. You have what you have, you move it, have your being through God. Oh, it was me that got up her. It was me that went to her. It was me. That's what's wrong with me.
Amen, brother.
God said we move and have our being through him.
That's right.
Have no confidence in the flesh. Church tonight, I'm not saying what I preach, but there's been enough singing that preached the gospel to save a soul in the world.
That's right, amen.
Maybe I'm just being called to holler a little loud tonight. But I'm telling you tonight, church, what are you rejoicing in? Well, preacher, I got a good job. Hallelujah, I'm rejoicing. If you lose that job tomorrow, will you still be rejoicing?
Amen, brother.
Huh? Think about it.
Yep.
If tomorrow you go out and they said, brother, you're going to have to move out of your house. Your bank account is empty. Your car will be repossessed today. And your wife, she's maybe not looking to stay with you much longer. That gets real personal, doesn't it?
Yep.
I sort of like mine. Every once in a while, she'll cook something when I see how she's able. And would I still be able to rejoice? I pray I can.
Amen.
I'm not going to sit up here and pout my heart. Oh, I just, you know, I say, oh, Lord, give me grace.
Amen, brother.
Lord, hey, I'm not trying to say this. Hey, I'm trying to tell you, Brother Ross has to get up there. Lord, I need grace. I need you. I need you. I can't do this, Lord.
That's right.
I can't do anything I'm preaching tonight by myself. It's not in Brother Ross Wilford.
Amen.
Don't you get thinking, I'm trying to tell you, you aren't going to be able to do this. I'm trying to say, if you trust in God, he can do it. If you reach out to him, he said, I'll reach out to you.
Amen.
You know what he always told Israel? Even when they backslid, fell, and he said, if you will return unto me, if you'll turn and repent and return to me, I will restore you.
Yeah.
Now, that's the saddest part about people tonight being away from God that are saved. God wants to restore them.
Amen.
God wants to expand the line of blessing and put it back in connection. God wants, but the devil says, oh no, God, oh, hey, God gets blamed for things he never had anything to do with. The reason if you're still out there is because you're still listening to Satan. You listen to him when you left and you're still listening to him. And when you come back to listen to God, you'll come back to God and you'll have blessings waiting on you. That's the good part. We serve this God that should just take Brother Ross Wilford, crumble him up like aluminum foil, pull him into the pits of hell and say, done with him. But no, I have this God, this loving God that Paul said we ought to be rejoicing in. That cleansed, I've come, I've sinned, I've come short, I've been filthy, I've been nasty. I have the rags of sin all about me. I have the stench of sin. I'm like the prodigal son walking down the road back to his father's house. Ah, Father, I've just come out of the hog pen. I stink. Lord, there's nothing that you would want me. If you'll just make me one of the hired servants. If you'll just let me crawl back under the carpet of your grace. If you'll just let me come where I'm near you, I'll be all right.
Amen.
Too many folks do not come tonight as the prodigal son. We're too stiff-necked and hard-hearted like the
right,
children
amen.
Of Israel. Israel suffered much because they were stiff-necked and hard-hearted.
That's right.
You know why Christians suffer today? Because they're stiff-necked and hard-hearted.
Amen, brother.
Well, preacher, now, I'm not saying, church, we can't be tried for the Lord. When the God gives you, you're going through the trial of the Lord, he'll let you know. Amen. Now, when he tried old Job, I know it's a while, but he mentioned coming, son, Job, that's okay.
Yep.
I'm just testing you a little bit, son. I'm just testing you. Hang on. But I'll let you know when it's him.
Yes.
He said, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. I will tell you. I will be with you. Hey, even if I'm going through a trial today, God says, I'm going to go with you. I won't have to walk through it alone tonight. I'll tell you that. Yes. If I'm going through a trial, I'll be with God. I'll be right beside me. I'm here, son. I'll take care of you. Just don't give up. I believe I used to have it hard to understand when the Bible said over, he that endureth to the end. He that endureth to the end. All God's saying is he that will hold on. I'll be there at the end. You just hold on. That's all he asked. He didn't ask you to win this. He didn't ask you to win that. He only asked you to hold on tonight. He only asked you to grab a hold of the horns out. Hold on, hold on, he says.
Right.
I'll make it all right. Don't have any confidence left. Hold on to the horns of the altar. I'll make it all right. You'll be okay if you just hold on. I don't know what you're going through tonight. Nobody might not. But God does. And all God said to you tonight is to get through it, just hold on. Just hold on, church. I know everything's falling apart. Looks like the whole world's gone mad. It looks like, but hold on, church. Keep rejoicing. Hold on. Don't have confidence. Don't take and put your confidence in no preacher. We're me and Dave. I appreciate you. But my confidence is in the Lord.
Amen, brother.
I've had too many preachers let me down, son.
Amen.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people not out of church that cause that preacher's left. If you fail, I'm not going to quit the Lord.
Amen.
I love you. I'll pray for you. I'll come and try to win you back to the Lord. But I'm not going to quit Jesus if you do. And I hope you tell the same with Brother Ross. That Brother Ross, I'm not going to fall along beside the road because you did.
Amen.
Church, that's the problem. We can't go down with a sinking ship, but we can try to raise it back up. But tonight, are you rejoicing in the Lord? Now, I'm not talking about, you're just running all the church, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hey, there's some people who do that, they're as miserable as the day is long.
That's right.
Just because somebody's shouting, hey, I say amen a lot and all that, but you don't really know what's going on inside of me.
Right.
I've said amen sometimes when it just said, oh, me inside.
Mm-hmm.
But still holding on, church.
Amen.
Rejoice, my brethren. Hold on, for it won't be long.
Amen.
There's a song, I don't know exactly what the name of it is, but it says, hold on. Hold on. It won't be long. All God asks you to do tonight, like I said, He wants you to do the best you can as a Christian. I'm never going to give you an excuse not to do that. But He won't hold it to you to be the best of everything, but He will hold on to you to be the best Christian you can be. He doesn't ask you to be Brother Ross Wilford, and He doesn't ask Brother Wilford to be Brother Hutchison.
Right.
That's why He called me and you different, brother. I'm totally different than you. My preaching's different than yours. But I'm telling you tonight, church, God says you're in the battle. There's not one of you tonight that's not in the fight. Not one of you that doesn't have the armor of God that he needs to be putting on and keeping on. You're all soldiers. Well, preacher, you're a preacher. That's all right. Yes, I am. My job is to go out every time I get an opportunity and herald the good news of Jesus Christ. But your job is to get up in the morning, put on the armor of God, walk out into a dying, lost world, and shine for Jesus.
That's right.
And if that's an opportunity to get to tell someone about Jesus, that's fine. If it's not, it's just to walk upright, earnest, and true to the Lord. When they look at you and say, if that's a Christian, if I'm a woman, I'm going to be one just like that one.
Amen.
None of us have an excuse not to do that.
That's right.
Are you got your armor on? If you're rejoicing in the Lord, if you put that armor on, you're rejoicing in the Lord. You can rejoice in the Lord no matter what's going on in your life. You can rejoice in the Lord even when you're crying in your eyes, the tears are rolling. Hey, you know how I really rejoice? When I'm really happy. Now, when you see me bellowing, I'm squalling like a little baby. That's when I'm the happiest in the Lord. Because let me tell you something. Before Ross Wilford was saved, you wouldn't have made him cry no matter what you did. My daddy whipped me, I would not cry. But boy, the day I met the Lord. All the river broke loose. Amen. I cried, squalled, bawled, tears sloppy. My wife will tell me sometimes, you need to make sure your nose is wiped before you get up. She knows sometimes I get so happy it just runs out all over me. From my face, my nose, and everywhere else. Church tonight. Are you happy in Jesus? I didn't say, are you happy with everything in your life? I don't know if any of us ever do that. But we can be happy in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We can come in this church rejoicing mm-hmm. every time we walk through the doors. It means I'm rejoicing in Jesus. I don't care what's going on in the world. I've got Jesus. The whole world might fall apart. My life might fall apart. Everything I have might be lost. But I have Jesus. I have Jesus. I have Jesus. I rejoice in the Lord. I've often thought, Brother David, I always pray, Lord, if I ever, please just let me hold on. Never let me fail. Never let me lose that joy of salvation. I might lose everything else. I don't know why. I might go home. My house might be burned to the ground. Amen. I might get out there in that car and blow up. But somewhere between there and here. But church, that's not why I'm saved. That's not why I'm a Christian.
Amen.
It's not why I'm going to heaven. It's because I held on, I hold out, I went down to an altar, grabbed a hold of the horn for a day, and said, Lord, save a wretch, crippled, little like me. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I rose up a different creature.
Amen, brother. That's right.
Tonight, church, All he says, I'm going to cry to close. Hold on. Rejoice in the Lord. Finally, my brother, to write the same to you is safe. It'll be safe to you if you come home to Jesus. It'll be safe when you come in this door rejoicing. I don't care what your condition of life, it'll still be good. Brother, I've heard people testify about old Christians. Like that fellow you said was a millionaire. But he couldn't understand. Although all you had your problems, your troubles, and seemed like, he said, all you done was had problems. But he said, I've never met anybody. Pastor, what a testimony, brother. What a testimony that a man would give in your life.
That's right.
That you were happy even though you seemed to have nothing. That's why you can sing with Jesus.
Amen.
I have everything.
Amen.
Man, I thought the other day, sitting back there when you were singing, I found a treasure. Oh, hallelujah, Dave. What a blessing. I found a treasure one day. I found a treasure. So love I had and purchased it, and it's never failed me.
Amen. That's right.
I found a treasure, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
He's my dearest friend.
Amen.
He's my closest ally.
Amen.
And if I listen, he is my leader. He
Amen.
Said, I will go with you. He didn't, hey, God don't want me to lead. He wants me to follow.
Amen.
That's the message tonight, Brother Dave. We'll get up here while we can hush. Brother, sister, God bless you. Hold on. Just hold on.
Amen.
Bless you, brother.
While they come, get us.